You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Politicians who don't know a single fact, but yet form a conclusion and an opinion, are, in my opinion, reckless and dangerous.
March the 16th, 2021, that was, of course, Governor Cuomo. Politicians forming an opinion without any facts are reckless and dangerous. He's talking about those who are saying he should resign, get out of the office because of these allegations from women about sexual improprieties and molestation type things. And it's a mix of things. It's still one woman's word against his word each and every time. No one has any solid evidence. So Cuomo's still standing, still fighting. How long? The pressure's building. And of course, it still disturbs me, and it should you, that this is a bigger issue than what Cuomo was doing about sending the elderly basically to death row, making them stay in nursing homes, making nursing homes take them if they had COVID, putting them in the most vulnerable population. And now comes word he was doing the same thing regarding mentally disabled. By the way, the Washington Post admits it had a fake story about Donald Trump. Remember the during the Georgia recount, Trump was supposedly quoted as saying and telling, I should say, a Georgia state official, go in there and you will find illegal votes. You'll be a hero, basically suggesting that the state official manufacture, create them. Well, now the truth is out. He never said anything like that. Even the Washington Post has to admit and make a correction. But the way it makes a correction, it's laughable. We'll get into that. The Biden administration is still blaming Trump for the border mess, still won't admit there's a crisis, but riddle me this. The Biden administration now sending in FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. When do you see FEMA in the field? FEMA normally comes in after a massive tornado, a hurricane, a wildfire. It comes in after disasters. So if we can't call it a crisis at the border, can we now call it a disaster? Plus one congressman saying he's been told the pipeline for illegals to come across the border is full for the next several months. Even the cartels are having trouble handling this tsunami of illegals. If the drug cartel can't keep up with it, you know it's big and it's going to get worse. Plus more evidence, more reports that jihadists are crossing. They're mixed in with the illegals. Jihadists right out of the Middle East, getting their way to Mexico, joining a caravan. No one can tell by looking at them, reference skin or anything else, if they are Middle Eastern or Mexican or South American or Central American. That is, of course, going to be a danger to our national security. I have, and I know you agree, said repeatedly, if we don't enhance border security, you're going to give them the opportunity to come in. And keep in mind, one of the first things Biden did when he got into office was sign a bill stopping all work on the border wall. A lot of spaces have already been taken down because they were getting ready to put the new facility wall up. When the work stopped, the materials that are supposed to be raised and put in place are on the ground, so you've got hundreds of yards, sometimes miles that are open. The material's there to go up, but Biden had said no more work. So those are coming across those locations and other locations. And don't forget, while you're having to lock down and you can't go anywhere without a mask, your kids maybe can't go to school, and Biden said the other day you might be able to have a barbecue party on our 4th of July, our Independence Day, you might be able to do that if you keep a small little group. In the meantime, these illegals coming across represents a super spreader of COVID. The leftists are fine with that because they look at votes coming across, not COVID. And then you got Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNN telling the Vatican it needs to re-examine itself. Don Lemon insists it is not teaching God's message. Don Lemon Fruitcake lecturing the Vatican? You don't want to miss that. And I have a question for you. Who is the greatest president since FDR? Just looking at his first 50 days. Oh, I'll bet you know the answer. Or at least someone claiming Biden is. But wait till you hear who makes that statement. We've got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family, even your enemies, know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public. But what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's not just people from Mexico or Honduras or El Salvador. They're now finding people from Yemen, Iran, Turkey. People are on the terrorist watch list they are catching. And they're rushing it all at once. The units of people who are coming from different countries, from Iran, from Yemen, from Sri Lanka, from Turkey, that it's different than it was before, and they're embedding in the people now. And they're fearful of what tomorrow brings in America because what's happening today on the border.
And we should be fearful. That is the statement from House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, who made a special trip with other Republicans to the border in Texas, taking a look at what's happening. And we've got this statement now coming out from the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas saying, admitting, yes, the U.S. is on track to encounter more migrants than it has in the last 20 years. Still, he's defending the administration's approach to this border surge, as he's describing it, saying it's difficult, but still won't call it a crisis. Let me read this quote to you. The situation at the southwest border is difficult. Do they have a thesaurus? I'll bet they do, because they're going through every word. What word can we use other than crisis? Well, we used mess earlier. We said all of this mess is Trump's fault. We'll come to that point in a moment. And they don't want to call it a crisis. Now it's being called difficult. And he says, we will not waver in our values and principles as a nation. You already have. If our border is as porous as it is now, and you just heard from Congressman McCarthy saying, Border Patrol agents are telling him we're finding more and more Middle Eastern men coming through, posing as being from Mexico or Central America. What do you think jihadists want to do in our nation if they get across the border? Do you think they could jump a plane somewhere and fly in unchecked, unvetted? No, they can't. But all these coming across the border, they're not verified, they're not checked, and sometimes they're not even checked for diseases such as COVID. And when they are, many are proven to be positive. But Mayorkas saying, our goal is, quote, a safe, legal, orderly immigration system that is based on our bedrock priorities. What are our priorities? Well, he lists them. To keep our border secure, you're failing. Address the plight of children as the law requires, you're failing. And enable families to be together. Well, you're failing there again because you were also, as you blame Trump, having to split families up. And in some cases, you're not sure if that child belongs to that person. And there are cases that you actually have in some of these camps that McCarthy will allude to a little bit later, where you've got children 2-3 years old holding hands. They might be related. They might just be children that of like age that they're staying together. And who they actually came across with, maybe it's documented somewhere and they're trying to verify, are they really a parent or a legal guardian, or are they just bringing these kids across for child trafficking? One, as an opportunity to get into the nation, because if where are you, they've already been told, if you have a child with you, you're more likely to get in if you appear to be a family. And on top of that, then also bringing those kids across for horrendous crimes in the future. In fact, there's a statement reference to how some of these kids are being treated at this point. This one is coming from some Latino GOP lawmakers. They are saying that they are seeing enough evidence. This would be Congresswoman Maria Salazar, Republican of Florida. We cannot allow what's happening on the border because it's girls, Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, who are being raped. The girls are children who are being trafficked. Child sex trafficking, one of the highest international crimes booming in this country. And that's what's happening. So when did all of this start? When did they just suddenly decide? What suddenly sparked them? Congressman McCarthy.
What they found is it all started midnight January 20th. There was 150 miles of border wall that's supposed to be built. 133 was done. They won't build that last 17. So it has a big gap because you took down the old wall to put the new one up. It's worse than a crisis. I thought I would see a crisis, but this is really a human heartbreak. We have a brand new facility to care for these children. They built it beyond capacity thinking they would never reach it. Today, they just set the anniversary that they broke capacity, more than 1,040 children, and it's only growing every day. And what that means is 120 of these border agents that are doing an extraordinary job in unbelievable times can't be on the border protecting us.
No, they can't because they're spread so thin. Remember, Mayorkas said, I'm going to have volunteers go down and help the border patrol so they can kind of run, get milk, goods for the kids, diapers, whatever's needed. And kind of help in some humane way. They're asking for volunteers from the federal government, I guess, to go down or others. And there are several charity groups that are stepping up trying to help these people. But I also pointed out to you that in Dallas, they're opening up a convention center in Dallas, and they're going to move 1,000 of these kids, 15 to 17, put them in that center in Dallas and try to figure out what they're going to do then. They have no idea. No idea. And we still have, from the very beginning, from the Biden White House and Pelosi saying this is all something Biden inherited, that it's Trump's mess. McCarthy was asked about that. Do you really rate, or accept, I should say, Pelosi and the White House blaming all of this as a mess on Trump?
Nobody believes that. The facts just do not state that. The border was beginning secured and was secure. What we found now, they're telling me there's things they've never seen before, and it's growing every day. More fentanyl than they've ever seen coming across. More challenge of who's on a terrorist watch list. You know, the security and safety of Americans are the number one issue that a president should have. And these policies that he has changed had made us less safe.
Absolutely. Less safe. Congressman Kate Coe of New York says that individuals that have been on the watch list for terrorism are now starting to exploit the southern border. They've been doing it. Believe me, they've been doing it before now. They're maybe more likely to be caught now because we got more agents trying to carry out some enforcement. But there's so many more coming, too. They'll probably be spotted easier. Do you have any idea? No one has any idea of how many mixed inside the illegals who say they want to come here for asylum, and in many cases, once they left their country, they were in a country that they could have claimed asylum. And then maybe they just want to come here to work, whatever the deal is. But mixed in with them are, even according to this congressman from New York, terrorist. He later said, we went up to what they call Monument 3, which is the intersection of Texas, New Mexico, and Mexico. And while I'm standing there looking out, I'm talking to one of the agents. He said the night before, 100 people came across. He said some of them are, quote, on the list. I asked, what list? He said, the terror watch list. He said, that really set my antenna up. It's not just people coming from Honduras. There are people coming from all of the world starting to exploit this gap in our system. My God, where have these people been that just now realize it? Obviously, I've not been listening to Larry Connors USA because for weeks, months, years now, I've been saying, if we don't secure our border, they will exploit it. If they can come across and pose to be a family out of Central America, and yet they're really jihadist and they're coming in. Do you have any idea how many sleeper cells we might have in our nation now because of what's happening? But of course, they're going to blame Trump. They're going to blame Trump because Biden doesn't want to take any responsibility. And they are selling that. And of course, some on the left are buying it so far. But wait till some device, explosive device, goes off and kills several Democrats and children and everything. You think that might be a wake-up? I hope we can have them wake up before such a tragedy happens. But they're going to continue to blame Trump. Why blame Trump? Well, you and I know the answer. But let me let you hear it direct from Congressman Clay Higgins, a Republican of Louisiana.
They don't like the truth that they have created. They do not want America to perceive that it's the Biden policies and liberal policies that are driving this incredible surge, wave after wave of illegal immigration, and they have it's an unmitigated disaster. I stated on this show a few days ago. It's far beyond a crisis at the border. It's a disaster. It's a danger to our republic.
Again, that's Congressman Higgins, Clay Higgins, Republican of Louisiana, on Fox News. Unmitigated disaster, a danger to our public. The president's first duty is protect America. I don't see that happening. And in fact, he now has a nickname. The other day, the Mexican president used that nickname. And here's Kevin McCarthy, Congressman Kevin McCarthy, repeating what the Mexican president said about Joe Biden.
The president of Mexico calls President Biden the migrant president. He's creating it. He's creating problems in Mexico itself. Why, we had an agreement with the countries in Central America that we would look for asylum while they were still in their country and not come up. Because what happens is these coyotes are making tremendous amounts of money. These cartels, things that we haven't seen before. This is what is happening. This is what's going on our border. And for President Biden, I sent him a letter a week ago to sit down and let's talk about this. Doesn't even acknowledge it. He needs to come to this border, look what has happened on what he's created, and change it.
You know, the only travel plans Biden has right now is to go with other Democrat legislators to various states and continue to pitch the COVID $1.9 trillion, strike that, $2 trillion COVID relief package. And get applause and welcoming from the blue states and blue governors and blue cities about all the money we dumped in that had nothing to do with COVID. Later in this hour, we're going to be joined by Adam Michelle. He's a Heritage financial expert, and he says this COVID funding for states, they don't need it, and they really should send it back. I'm going to ask him, you really think they're going to buy that message? But that's the only trip that Biden has planned. Why isn't he going to the border? Fly Air Force One down, go to the border and see firsthand. Well, maybe he's not sure he wants to go, doesn't know where he is. They don't want him to see it. Maybe who knows what stories they're telling him. But the only travel he's going to do is go around and try to push the great thing he just accomplished with COVID relief package, $2 trillion package, while our border is a porous opening for jihadists. And who knows what other crimes. And this just has to be kept in mind. Do you think it's going to stop tomorrow? Maybe next week? Maybe next month? Do you think it has some end? At some point, they'll say, okay, everybody that wanted to go to the U.S. has gone. It's over. Nobody more will come. They are happy where they are. They won't even try. Do you really think that will happen? again, Congressman Clay Higgins of Louisiana, as to what he's been told.
My sources tell me that the cartel's pipeline all the way through the South is maxed out, like sold out. And that's the equivalent of about 2 million illegal migrants during the course of this year.
Sold out. They can't handle it. It's a tsunami and the cartel can't keep up with it. And, of course, they're shipping drugs in with a lot of these illegals. Some gets caught. Some get caught. Some don't. Fentanyl, one of the most dangerous drugs out there, sometimes mixed with various other drugs, deadly, coming across the border on a continuous basis. And for Higgins, say, I've been told that they're sold out. They don't have time or room for more illegals. They'll find a way. In fact, the numbers are, according to U.S. Border Protection, says they had 100,000 encounters with migrants last month. 100,000 in 1 month. And, of course, the number of migrant children in custody at the facility is tripling to more than 3,250 in recent weeks. Well, what is needed to stop this? What do we need to have happen to stop it now? Not tomorrow, now. What do we need to have happen? And also, you have to stay home. You can't do a lot of things and travel, but this is a COVID super spreader. Stand by for more.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Illegal immigration is never right at any time. So let's fix legal immigration. But border security is number one. Let's finish those 17 miles we're already building. Let's make sure that we don't encourage people to think they're just going to become citizens by coming. Keep the children back in their own country. And if they want to claim asylum, have the cases in their own country, because 80% of them don't come true and they're already in the country. In America, you got 10 million Americans out of work. Now you're bringing people in to compete for those jobs?
How many have stopped to think about that point? These folks are going to be competing for jobs. That's Congressman McCarthy again of California on what should happen, and that is shut it down. Don't let them come in. Go back to what Trump had in order, that if you are seeking asylum, you stay in Mexico while we adjudicate if you really are qualified for asylum. Just coming here and wanting a better job, better life, does not qualify for asylum. And what we're doing now is letting them go ahead and come across, get into our country, and file for it. And then they go wherever they want around the country, and they're told, well, you come back, we'll have your court case at some point. Oh, yeah, we'll be back. Fat chance. And the other point, this nation, what we've been going through with the jobs we lost, you heard him refer to 9.5, 10 million Americans out of jobs right now, the COVID, what it did to this economy, and shut down businesses, some will never reopen again, and have put people on a line to some of them that they see only suicide as a way out, and it's a terrible thing that that's the only option they see, and children isolated. They can't go to school, can't reach out. Why? Because of COVID. And you're supposed to stay in place and do what they tell you. And yet here come thousands of illegals. And we have already documented numerous cases of COVID. And you know more are getting through that aren't being checked. Here's, again, Congressman McCarthy and talking to doctors about it.
You've talked to the medical doctor. These kids are not tested. And then they're put back out into this country. More than 10% of them tell me after they go out and get tested that they're positive. But imagine you're traveling together. You're kept together. We can't open our schools in America, but we're putting people throughout. The President Biden has a goal of maybe our families can get together on the 4th of July, but he's spreading COVID throughout. And the numbers are only going to grow every single day. Our own border agents, if you talk to, there was 2,400 in this one unit, 1,500 of them have already been exposed to it.
And again, Congressman McCarthy was making a trip to the border, Texas-Mexico border. And of course, Governor Abbott of Texas had announced last week, we're going to open up the state. Everything can open up. No more mask mandate. Well, the city of Austin immediately said, we're going to impose a mask mandate inside city limits. And there's a lawsuit going back between the state and the city right now. But they want everybody to stay in mask because they think it's important and critical. And if, and they're all saying, watch what happens in Texas. You're going to see COVID just blow up again because Governor Abbott said everything can open up and you're no longer going to have a mask mandate in the state. He says you exercise the proper precaution for yourself and your family. And they say, watch, watch. You're going to see a big explosion of COVID. Are going to find out if the COVID was because someone who was already in Texas decided not to wear a mask or because of illegals swarming across the border, being displaced across Texas and beyond other states as well, all the way to New York, Minnesota, wherever they want to go. But in particular in Texas, if they suddenly have an explosion of COVID, where do you think the blame's going to be? Yep, it's the governor. And what's being done to that point? Again, Congressman McCarthy.
You know that $1.9 trillion, the biggest spending we've ever done? There's not $1 in there to help them. They're taking it out of their operations. What they tell me is they need more technology along with the fence, where they can censor it ahead of time. Because as you can see here in El Paso, there's a highway right by the wall. There's houses just 100 yards the other way. So they have a short time period to try to catch somebody. And what they're seeing now is what they haven't seen in a long time, like 100 men at once coming to one unit, children going to another, to spread out the Border Patrol where they can't stop it.
They're pretty smart, aren't they? And as he pointed out, this $1.9 trillion, not a dollar one in there to help reinforce the border and help the border security agents. Not $1. And of course, keep in mind, 9% or less actually goes to helping Americans who are suffering. In the meantime, states are going to get much, much money. Someone is saying the states should reject it. Really? Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no better man. This ain't no place for no hero. Come home.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I told you previously, this COVID relief bill is packed with pork. 9% maximum is actually going to go to help American citizens. And part of that spending includes something like $360 billion going for state and local governments. L.A. is going to get $1.3 billion. Well, I want to introduce to you Adam Michelle, who's with the Heritage Foundation, focuses on tax policy, often quoted by numerous sources, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, U.S. News and World Report. Adam, first of all, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm glad to have you. And you wrote a piece, and it's titled this. And folks, I want you to hear what it says, and then we're going to get into how it actually breaks down. But there's an initial question I want to pose for Adam. The title is, Governors, he's addressing the governors of these states, get ready to get this money. Governors just say no to federal bailouts. Adam, I think you're speaking into the wind and the forest by yourself. Would you think they're going to hear that message?
Well, I certainly hope they hear it, but you're right. The precedent is not on my side. The federal government has sent money to the states. Earlier in the pandemic, they sent it in 2009. They sent it again in the early 2000s. And each time the governors take this money, each of those times it has expanded state budgets to the point where they can no longer be funded by current tax revenue at the state level. So every dollar of that federal money has led historically to 40 cents of state tax increases later down the road when that federal money runs out. And that's just the first problem.
Yeah, and I would say that a lot of it has to do with poorly the way they're spending it anyway. They're just mad and crazy. They got the money and splashing it around, and then all of a sudden we need more. But they're always going to want more. I mean, if you put it out there, who's going to really turn their back and say, no, nah, I don't want it. You guys keep it. Really?
Well, the second problem, what's different this time around, is Congress has attached some new strings to the money that say if you take this money, you're not allowed to cut taxes or do any sort of tax reform that reduces overall levels of government taxation while you're spending this money through 2024. And the specific rules are still need to be written, but this could potentially tie the hands of governors on the left and the right. Governors on the right who might want to simply cut taxes across the board, cut business taxes, cut excise taxes, but also governors Democratic governors who might want to increase the earned income tax credit or increase tax credits to poor families.
But you dropped
all these things would be off the table.
You dropped a line in there. You said those rules are yet to be written. Congress is going to write those, and we know who's charging or controlling Congress right now.
Well, the Congress has actually delegated that to Treasury, which is controlled by the Biden administration, and Janet Yellen will be the one in charge at the Treasury Department. Right. And the language that Congress wrote is so broad and encompassing. Janet Yellen could really write these rules however she wants.
Yeah, and I want to come back to her in a moment and her statements are no belief that we're going to have inflation with all this going on. But now, folks, this is again Adam Michelle, the Heritage Foundation, an expert when it comes to tax policy and federal budget. And the statement is clear. Governors just say no to the federal bailouts. All right, we covered the possible reaction. But it's not just saying no, it's because they really don't need them in many cases, right?
That's exactly right. There were these dire predictions coming into this crisis that states would have dramatic declines in revenue. But for a number of reasons, which were well known to folks at the Heritage Foundation and other conservatives sort of trying to explain this to people, is that 23 states have actually experienced increases in revenue compared to 2019. And those states that have seen declines in revenue have only seen small declines in revenue that have been more than made up for by the aid that has already been sent to the states. In addition to rainy day funds and other reforms at the state level, this new relief money that's being sent, the $360 billion of new money, is 116 times the revenue loss that the average state has seen over the last year.
And you said
so this money is.
And you said 23 of them have actually experienced increases compared to 2019. Does that include California and New York?
California has does have a surplus. I'd need to double check New York, but the states that have seen the biggest declines in revenue are states that rely on tourism, like Hawaii, or states like Alaska that rely on a lot of excise tax revenue from natural resources.
Okay, so it may not be a political control of the state that says it's short or going great, but because that particular industry or resource suddenly got shut down because of COVID.
Correct. That's one margin. There's a correlation between states that have higher unemployment rates and have shut down more harshly that are suffering on other margins. By and large, most states on the revenue margin are doing quite well. And a big part of that is because the federal government has sent stimulus checks to people that are spending them, and that's turning into sales tax revenue. A lot of states tax unemployment benefits, which helps buoy up the income tax revenue. So there's a lot of places where the sort of
right
incentives push in different directions.
I did read one report out of San Francisco that maybe you saw the same report, and I don't have it here in front of me, but basically the money they were going to get would basically cover the deficit they were having, so they're going to be very happy to get it. And every state that does take it, as you said, if there are restrictions, depending on how it's written, as to if they can continue to raise taxes, I see them say, yeah, let's get another grab at some tax money. They're not ever going to walk away from this opportunity.
You know, it's hard to walk away from quote unquote free money. This is
right.
This is the federal government just totally doling out cash, and unfortunately, that's the incentive. Ultimately, this does mean that every person in the state is going to have to pay higher federal taxes to pay this all back. But in the meantime, it looks like free money, and that's the sort of root of the problem with
right.
our fiscal crisis.
And to that point, I mean, you're right. It's not really free. It's going to be. I said to the audience the other day when they passed, and I'm calling it already $2 trillion. $1.9 trillion baloney. You might as well say $2 trillion. What difference does it make on that point one? But I said, you need to call 911. You're being robbed. Your children are being robbed. Your grandchildren are being robbed down the road.
That's exactly right. I mean, they're not piling debt on the current generation. They're piling debt at this point on future generations down the road. And that's what's really scary. It's not just $2 trillion. This is just the latest package we're talking
right.
about. They're close to $6 trillion of additional spending just for this crisis, and a large portion of that is not well targeted. It's not directed at the actual health crisis. It's simply just a political opportunity to expand
arts and institutes, Arts and Institute, Planned Parenthood, things of that nature. And the Biden administration now talking about, yeah, we may have to put an additional tax on for a $4 trillion infrastructure plan. And that's still more money to come down. Now, in the midst of all this, we're talking about Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen a moment ago. And she's of the opinion, I don't think we'll have inflation. And if do, we have the tools. We know how to control it. Adam Michelle of Heritage Foundation. This is Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary. She is supposedly is a learned woman. What is your take on the possibility of inflation?
I mean, we have never done anything like this in human history. The amount of money that the Fed has printed, the amount of money that Congress is sending out the door, it is going to have ripple effects throughout the economy that no one can predict. And it's the sort of technocratic mindset of a Janet Yellen sitting here in Washington that, oh, don't worry, we have the tools to pull back any of the problems that Congress is creating right now. That sort of hubris is what ultimately got us the inflation through the 1970s and 80s. And that is certainly a one risk of this, but it's not the only risk. This money is going to distort American life in any number of ways,
right.
and
the Republicans under Trump, they did not really do a good job about being federally fiscally sound either. But that's an
understatement.
And I gave excuses for Trump a couple times that he just wants to get this part done, protect what he wants for the military. But then he continued to extend it, and I kind of said this is the wrong path, but we're on it at this point. If we had not had 10 million jobs disappear overnight in the COVID thing, then we wouldn't have all this spending. Now, one other obviously, they're going to grab the money they can. Adam, I want to thank you very much for joining us and giving us your insight. Adam is a senior policy analyst with the Heritage Foundation. And I know you enjoy rock climbing. And to me, this would be trying to climb without any safety procedures whatsoever going forward if we go down this road with this money.
That's exactly right. We're in uncharted territory.
Dangerous territory. Adam, thank you very much for your time. We'll do it again, sir.
Have a good one.
You bet. You bet. Adam Michelle, focusing on tax policy and the federal budget as a senior policy analyst. No, the states are going to take it. I mean, if they're going to take the money, if somebody's going to take it, I want my share. I mean, who doesn't do that? Coming up, the man who says Biden is the best president since FDR. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. So got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, first of all, I am so proud of President Joe Biden, really and truly. This is not a partisan comment, Don. Our country needs this kind of leadership. I honestly think that he is off to a stronger start in the first 50-some-odd days of any president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I see it.
I see it. What is he drinking? That is former Vice President Al Gore on CNN with Don Lemon Fruitcake. And we're going to play a statement again in a moment, but just that one part where he said, this is not a partisan comment. Right. Greater than FDR. Of course, if you're looking at executive order signed, when you compare Biden to what we've had with the last three presidents, George W. Bush signed 8 executive orders in his first 50 days, Obama 17, and I'm not sure these all fall in 50. Basically, it may be closer to a little bit more than that. Trump did 16, but we do know we're at 50-plus days right now, just barely over that with Biden, and he signed 34 executive orders. And you know why Gore is so proud? Because one of them was kill the Keystone XL pipeline and push for more green stuff, green pledge, green, get rid of fossil fuels and everything, and put people out of work immediately. And the idea being their jobs in the future will be extinct. So let's just go ahead and kill it now and see if they can survive until we get to full solar, nuclear, whatever energy they're going to try and not use fossil fuels. FDR did a radio address, as they call it, the first 100 days radio address. He actually gave on day 143 of his presidency, and he referred to the 100-day legislative session began March 9th, 5 days after his inauguration. And there was apparently a popular read on the Biden transition team, and I'm sure Al Gore has read it as well. But he wants to compare what Biden has done to FDR. Whether or not you like FDR, whether or not you think he was right for the country at the time, he did do a lot. I mean, you cannot deny that. I mean, when he came in as our 32nd president, we had numerous problems. As he said, and I'm quoting from his inaugural address, I am prepared under my constitutional duty to recommend the measures that a stricken nation in the midst of a stricken world may require. That was March 4, 1933. And he summoned Congress into a 3-month special session, rapidly passed a series of 15 major bills designed to get us out of the Great Depression. That included starting federal work programs and so forth, and setting up other opportunities, things of that nature. They were needed at the time. I know some people think that was largesse, it shouldn't have been there. Well, people needed it at the time. They had the Tennessee Valley Authority startup. They had the Civilian Conservation Corps. They had the Federal Emergency Relief Administration. Things at that point, I think, were needed in the nation. But here again, let's listen to Al Gore. Oh, I mean, he is just slobbering over himself. And Joe Biden, just listen.
Well, first of all, I am so proud of President Joe Biden, really and truly. This is not a partisan comment, Don. Our country needs this kind of leadership. I honestly think that he is off to a stronger start in the first 50-some-odd days of any president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I see it.
I see it. Because the Green Deal stuff, that's the only thing Al Gore is really putting it on, really. Do you think he got challenged by Don Lemon on that? Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. You go into Don Lemon's house and you're invited in, you're not going to expect that they're going to mistreat you. You're a guest. They're not going to mistreat you. And Al Gore knew. By the way, Don Lemon Fruitcake has a book coming out. I think it's released actually today. And when Al Gore was on the program last night, as he was being introduced, the first thing he did was praise Don Lemon Fruitcake in the book coming out. Said, I know it's going to be great. I mean, well, my God, we're going to have a little kissy, huggy, huggy. I mean, we're all in this together. And we're just as happy as we can be. And Don, you got a great book coming out. And Don Lemon Fruitcake said, well, thank you. That means a lot coming from you. I wonder what Al Gore's comment meant to say Obama Obama just, he got dissed right there by that statement. You know that. That Obama didn't really do anything in the first 50 days compared to FDR. And compared to Biden, the guy who is his VP. Biden, the guy who still has yet to hold a full news conference. It's typical. I mean, it's the shell game. While you're looking here, something else is happening over there. But look at this shiny object. Don't look over there. And please, by God, do not look behind the curtain. At some point, we're going to have to look behind the curtain. And we're going to see how Biden handles this jaunt across the nation as he and others go to various states promoting his COVID package. Is he going to go to the border and deal with any of that? Don't hold your breath. But in the next segment, I want to spend more time on the border crisis. It is a crisis. It's chaos. And whatever other word you want to find in the thesaurus. But when they're sending FEMA down, Federal Emergency Management Relief, Biden sending FEMA down, and that they go on the field for a disaster. And they aren't going to call it a disaster, but that's exactly what it's indicating. And speaking of Don Lemon Fruitcake, you want to hear him lecture the Vatican. That's in the next hour. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.